I want to take you to 2 Corinthians this morning. And it's been bouncing all morning and confirmed, so I want to make sure that it begins to make a hole inside of you so that the Holy Spirit can begin a work of comfort inside of you. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about the God of all comfort. And I want to relate to you a little bit about why sometimes we start wondering if anything is going to come out. Like my sister said, when you're going through a crushed state, how many know what a crushed place is? Okay. When you begin to be tenderized by God, and you're being crushed by God, your first reaction is to blame Him. God, what are you doing to me? Can anybody relate? So we get angry at the wrong one because He allows us to be crushed so that we will understand what it's like to let out even a cry for help. James chapter 1 says, if your life is full of difficulties and trials of many kinds, to rejoice, which there's no common sense in rejoicing when you're having a hard time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Chicopee, Massachusetts, together with all the saints throughout the United States of America. Now, you wouldn't mind that that's my print. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise. This morning I was pressed of the Lord to put up the calendar that we received from Jerusalem last week. And I was pressed to open it up to Judah, which is really the transition or translation of the word Judah, is a people of praise. A people that praise God all the time. I heard someone say last Tuesday that they gave out a book called Prison to Praise. And then they discovered that they had an extra book about power in praise. Those two books changed my life. The first one brought transition and salvation to my mom and my dad, who had been alcoholics for many years. So what am I saying to you? There's an unnatural feeling about praising God when you're having a hard time, or someone's irritating you, or someone is falling apart, and you want to just bash the walls in. You're not concerned about your bleeding knuckles. You're just trying to get rid of the frustration. Anybody get to taste that this past few weeks? How many have tasted that in the past few weeks? Thank you. Well, then I can relate. But the God of comfort is available to you. Amen? Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. When our God is moved by compassion, that should give you and I a clue that we need to go there as well. And the God of all comfort. Not part-time comfort. Now, I'm absolutely convinced that you have the Amplified, correct? Because I read the Amplified this morning. So would you give us verse 3 in the Amplified, please?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity, and mercy, and the God who is the source of every comfort, consolation, and encouragement.
the God of comfort, consolation, and
encouragement.
Well, when I'm down and out, I need to be encouraged. Amen? Sometimes there were seasons of my life that I felt so crushed that I despaired to live. I just didn't want to live anymore. I can remember before my born again or spirit-filled experience, I was born again, but it was not understood by me. I had an awareness of Jesus, but he was relating out there and I was here. And I kind of fell through the bottom of the hoop or something. You know. And I can remember making a decision on Route 90. Interstate 90. Making a decision that abutment that I saw coming down one hill would be a perfect place to crash my car. I was determined that I was not going to hurt anymore.
Mommy.
So I went out and talked to my insurance agent and I bought $200,000 worth of insurance. I paid that insurance month after month after month after month in hopes that an accidental death would then give me double indemnity, a double blessing for my kids. Because I didn't want them to go through what I was tasting. I despaired for life. I didn't want to live anymore. My wife didn't know it. My children didn't know it. Because I was an expert. I was an expert at camouflage. You know the camouflage outfits the guys in the service wear? Uh-huh. I had one of those that was invisible. I walked around and I did all the things that everybody expected of me. And nobody knew that I despaired of life. Am I talking to just me? Or am I talking about some of you? If I'm talking about some of you, put your hand up. I did not know the God of comfort or the God of compassion. Or the God of encouragement. I didn't know him. All I knew was the God with the big stick. I didn't understand the Father of grace and mercy. And I was doing just like Isaac. I wanted my own way. How many of you have ever acted like Isaac? Stomped your feet, gave all the yelling and screaming, and you sounded like a real idiot after the fact. But during the fact, it sounded like a great idea to get what I wanted. Now, am I talking again only about me? So you see, if you've never been crushed, you'll never have compassion for your neighbor. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. There's your answer. You know, when you begin to taste of his mercy, you stop focusing on me, myself, and I, and you start seeing the brokenness all around you. Verse 5, for just as suffering, the suffering of Christ, flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Did you hear that? Peggy, could you read verse 5 one time, please, in the Amplified? Because I read it this morning, but I knew I was supposed to use you this morning, so I'm guilty of putting you to work.
For just as Christ's own sufferings fall on our lot as they overflow upon his disciples, and we share and experience them abundantly, so through Christ, comfort, consolation, and encouragement is also shared and experienced abundantly by us.
So in other words, we as the body of Christ sometimes bleed, don't we? We as the body of Christ sometimes have pain that no one will really understand. Until the Lord starts moving in and you say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Because that's God's will for me. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Especially verse 18. God's will for me is to praise him. In all the hardships, in all the difficulties. And I've taught this to you, and sometimes I would like to just twist some of you to make you see that that's your power. You want to be a powerful man or woman of God? Begin to thank him for your hardships. Hug the hardship instead of pushing it away. Hug it and say, Lord, teach me out of this. Counsel my heart. Let me taste of what it was like for Jesus to hug the cross all the way down Main Street, Jerusalem. Hugging it. And the women were wailing. And he says, stop wailing. Cry for those that are your children and your children's children. He was telling them, get your eyes off of yourself. You see the deception and the blind spots that he knew about. They couldn't catch it. They didn't catch on to the message. Today, St. Paul is giving you an instruction through my mouth that in your hardship, you have an ability to hug that hardship and then to be changed inside of your heart so that your wounds will make you tender for others who are even more wounded than you. Why didn't I want to live? Because there was no compassion. There was no understanding of what God was trying to do. He was crushing me. And at that time, I didn't want any more crushing. I was doing like Isaac, stamping my feet and wasting my money. Verse 5, for just as the suffering of Christ flows over into my life, so also through Christ, my comfort overflows to those that are in distress greater and deeper than me. I came later on to an understanding that my parents were deeply wounded, much deeper than I could understand or comprehend. And God had a plan for me to begin to intercede for them and to begin to rejoice for the way they were so that I could get my eyes off of me and put my eyes on the one that could have the comfort to change them. Verse 6, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. Say, ouch.
Ouch.
I don't like learning patience and endurance because my flesh says I don't like it. It hurts. It irritates. Now watch out, because you're going to have another little ouch possible here. I'm going to repeat that. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for this, our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also we share in our comfort. So now you can see the transition taking place in the body of Christ. While one is having a suffering problem, the other one is going to be releasing comfort by the same Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will counsel and comfort you when you least expect it, when the hardships are not understood. As you praise God, the revelation will come to you. Why, God, did you let me go through this? Well, it's so that you will help another one down the road. Why did you let me suffer so deeply? Why did you let me have such a hopeless emotional breakdown? Amen? Well, the answer is simple. So that others, when they're drawn to you by the same Holy Spirit, you will be the one that will lay hands on them and release grace and compassion because you got some from your Father. How many of you have gotten a few slaps from your Father? I don't mean physical ones, but sometimes spiritual ones. And it could be physical ones too. So we have this ugly picture of a father. Because the enemy says, he really didn't love you. If he would have loved you, he would have been around. He would have done such and such. He would have loved me in my hurt. And we judge and we condemn and we find fault. And Matthew 7 says, when you do that, you're really all prepared for a setup. So while you're judging them, the enemy comes back and he's able to come to the Father and say, you see, your law says, don't judge. And we have a tendency to judge. We have a tendency to expect others to perform the way we want them to perform. And when they don't, what do? Huh?
Judge.
Yeah. But the God of comfort isn't contacted, is he, at that point? What are we focused on? Me. How much I'm hurting. Why aren't they there? Well, maybe they're more wounded than you. Or maybe they're deeper in their bleeding than you are. Verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffer in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even for life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves. Did you hear that? That happened so that I would not learn to rely on me, but on God, who raises the dead. So I planned my own funeral. And finally, the Lord came in and decided to shatter my plan. And he brought me to an understanding that I could be transformed by his Holy Ghost. So is there anything too hard for God? He turned my head from looking at my own heart and my own bruises to saying, God, use it for your glory. God, I don't understand. Use it for your glory. God, I don't comprehend, but show me those that are hurting more than me so that I can lay hands on them and then you can heal me. Job chapter 42. And when I began to pray for those that were more wounded than me, God began to heal me. Have you got two hands? Will you lay hands on the sick? Mark chapter 16. Will you cast out devils? It's up to you. If you're a believer, those are the signs and wonders that are going to happen when you decide to do your part. When the phone rings and somebody's in despair, are you willing to pray with them and bring them to the altar of the Lord and say, how can we find a word from God's word to change your life right now? Can we pray with you? My brother-in-law died during the night. The Lord woke me up at 3-something. And he told me to take Holy Communion for him specifically. Later on, I called my sister and she wasn't at home. And I called my other sister and she wasn't at home. And so I called one of my nieces and I said, where's your mom? And is she still at the hospital? And she says, Uncle, it's all done. And for her, that was her favorite uncle because they were brought up, the two nieces together. Two only daughters. My brother-in-law and his wife had a boy and a girl, and my other sister only had one daughter. So they became five that were very, very closely connected, actually. There was one other sister involved. And those families stuck together, and today there's one missing. So their hearts are bruised. And I responded to this young woman and I said, just be aware that we'll be praying for you. That others will be taking you into their arms and carrying you during this time of hardship. And she began to weep. And she said, thank you. You know, God knows where and how much you are hurting. But He wants you to take the focus off yourself and your justified thinking. Those are strongholds. Those are patterns of thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says strongholds, patterns of thinking that have been established for years and years are being broken. And they're being broken inside of you and me. And this is the season for it. And we need to put the solution of God's word there. That in our hardships, we are suffering like Jesus was suffering. So that we can hand out what? Healing. As we release the blessings that God has given to us. Unto those that are suffering even deeper than us. So if you take your eyes off of your wonderful self. And put your eyes on the marvelous healer. That's done some compassionate work in you. How many have had a taste of His compassion? How about some of His comfort? Well, then give it out. And you know what? When you start giving it out, some of you might get a slap in the face because the others don't want it. How many of you have received a few slaps when... I don't mean physical sometimes. I mean, you just know you just got slapped. You know it. But the bottom line is, if you keep on doing well, if you keep on praying, and if you keep on interceding, eventually the enemy will what?
Back off.
He'll back off. And salvation will come to that situation. And they'll begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And salvation will enter their hearts. And then you'll start seeing a little bit of change. And you'll see them start to come to life. And then all of a sudden, it's like they switch tracks. The enemy changes his tactics because now he can't win in this direction. So he starts in a new corner. Anybody relate? When he starts in that new corner, you're going to have to learn a whole new defense mechanism, correct? But you're going to grow in patience and in endurance. Tell your neighbor, I'm growing up. I don't like it, but I'm growing up. My flesh doesn't like it, but I'm growing up. I'm being sneaky, forgive me. You know, when I make you repeat that, sometimes it sounds so strange. And when those words come out, what God is really using is Romans 10, 9 and 10. Confess with your mouth, and salvation will come. And do you know how much the enemy wants you to stop the process of salvation? When two, Matthew 18 and 19, when two are in agreement, what happens? Jesus is in the midst of them. And He answers prayers. And if you speak the word only, Did you ever hear that? Speak the word only. How about think the word only? Well, if you do both, you're going to win. Because sometimes I want to speak what I feel. And I want to punch a few walls. But God says, don't do what you feel. Do what I show you to do. And you're going to probably do it sometimes with your tail between your legs. And you're going to be very unwilling. And you may be fearful. And you may be doing it afraid. But by God's grace, you're going to carry your commission to the victory. Don't let the enemy win. Cross over the blood. Cross over to the bloodline. You know, sometimes I'd like to relate to people the questions that are in hearts and how transformation takes place, but it takes time. This morning at 3:30 a.m., I'm pressed to understand the precious blood of Jesus, which atoned for all sin, and how it is the life flow of his body inside of me. Those are my notes from 3:00. When I consume the blood of Jesus Christ, his memorial is being declared in this earth, this body, this temple. Why am I sharing that with you? Because of what we did earlier. In obedience to Christ. Now, this sister has no idea what I was going through at 3:30 this morning. But she carried the commission and put a ribbon across. And she said it represents Rahab to her, which is the blood of the Lamb that brought salvation to her house. When I consume the blood of Jesus, his memorial is being declared in this earth and in my earthen temple. And I can now understand what happens when I and the demons that see me see the blood inside of my veins. You say, why are the elements out there every Sunday? So that you can consume them. So that the explosive power of his blood will shock the enemy right out of you. You say, you think I got enemies in you and in me? Yes. Some demons are using you. They're giving you a hard time. They'd love to see you somewhere else. Anywhere else. Okay, back off, because his blood is flowing inside my veins. Liquid light exploding inside of me, exposing the enemy, making him visible to me. How many have ever seen words come out of their mouth and they know they're not theirs, but they know that it was the enemy speaking through them? When you begin to see that, you can do something about it. Usually, I couldn't identify that it was the enemy using my mouth. I couldn't. I would blame me. I'd be the bad guy. And that's exactly what the enemy wanted. Ephesians 6:12 says, my battle is not against me, made of flesh and blood. Agreed? Or are you guys all sleeping? Try it on. My battle is not against me.
My battle is not against me.
Made of flesh and blood. But negative spirits. That want to kill me. They want to destroy me. But they will not succeed. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Flowing through me. Exposing them. So I can get rid of them. The last comment that I wrote down was, all the darkness that has used me, I rejoice for your blood. Acts 20, verse 28. Jesus bought me with his own blood. He bought a church for himself so that I can keep watch over myself and all the flock which he, by the Holy Spirit, has made me an overseer to be a shepherd of his church, which is the church of the living God. This is the word to me earlier, and it is your communion to me and your commission to me to lift up all the sheep still to be brought into the church that you are building. And the first person that I wrote down was my brother-in-law. Jean-Jacques and his wife, my sister Rita. I don't share my personal notes with you all the time, but today the Lord was confirming that I needed to do that. Because did anybody listen to T.D. Jakes this morning? Well, I did. He's on BET, 7 o'clock in the morning. Get out of bed. Listen to him. Wake you up first in the morning. He woke me up this morning because he says, the Lord used circumstances to change his whole ministry because he obeyed the Lord and gave a message that didn't make sense to his brain. Welcome to the club. There was such a coordinated effort by God to make him change his attitude about himself. And one of the things that the Lord showed him is that when Thomas came to him, Jesus showed Thomas his wounds. And the enemy says to me, Kev, don't talk about your wounds because, you know, we don't want to talk about that. Don't talk about your hurts and how people insulted you and hurt you. Don't talk about those things because that's supposed to be covered by the blood and it's all out now. We're not going to talk about all those painful experiences anymore. And we're not going to talk about how you wanted to commit suicide. And we're not going to talk about all this other stuff that happened to you. Because after all, who's interested? My battle is not against flesh and blood, and I pull down those strongholds this day. And I release to you wounded hands and wounded feet. Yes. The enemy would love to stop what I have done because I know that I've done my best to obey him. And the enemy doesn't like obedience. He doesn't like what I'm telling you right now. There are times that you're going to have to share your hurts with one another so that you may be healed. I was on a phone with a young man from Florida. He's got some terrible wounds. But God transformed him. And now he let go of his homework. He let go of the Bible and he let go of all this other stuff and he went back to his old patterns and he says now it's hopeless. How many have ever gone back to their old patterns? Yeah. And so I reassured him and I said, but don't let the enemy deceive you. The God of all comforts on the job. The counselor, the Holy Ghost of his presence is inside of you. He's not somewhere else. He's inside of you. So close your eyes right now. Put one hand over your heart. And say, Lord Jesus, I want a taste of your comfort. And all the painful things that I've experienced. Use it for your glory. Release my hands today. Not just to put them on me, but to prepare to be a part of the body of Christ. Would you stand up, please?